Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Kiddushin Daf Pei Beis, the very last daf in Maseches Kiddushin and in Seder Nashim. We are holding about 12 lines from the end of the page on Daf Pei Aleph Amud Beis. We are at the Amar Rava Misyachid Adam Im Shtei Yevamos. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer, in honor of his wife and children, and Le'ilin Nishmas' mother, Golda Vasimcha, Allah Hashem. I actually saw Dr. Lanzer last night. It's sponsored by Andrea Keen, Le'ilin Nishmas, her husband, David Yitzchak, Allah Hashem, Ben Akiva Yehuda, on his second yard site, which is today. It's Nesham Shav Aliyah. It's also sponsored by David Friedman, in appreciation of all DAF participants' commitment to the DAF and to finishing Seder Nashim. Looking forward to Seder Nezikin, Be'ezras Hashem. It is also sponsored by the Psachim Boys, in honor of the Shir finishing Maseches Kiddushin and Seder Nashim, and in honor of the Chayalim, Hashem's partners and vessels in the defense and protection of Am Yisrael. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So what we're in the middle of discussing is the Dinim of Yichud. So we're going to finish up some of the Dinim of Yichud. We're going to talk about at what age a child is allowed to sleep in the same bed with a parent. Then the Gemara is going to discuss single guys, or the Mishnah rather, on top of Amud Aleph, is going to talk about unmarried men and women, even married, teaching young children. We're going to talk about unmarried people serving as shepherds. The next Mishnah is going to talk about which jobs are the ideal Jewish jobs for people to do, what type of profession a person should teach their child, and what type of profession a person should avoid teaching their child. The Gemara is then going to talk about how Avram, or the Mishnah is going to talk about, rather, how Avram Avinu was Mekayim Kala Torah Kula Ad Shalonitna. Then the Gemara is going to tell us 10 different things about a person who works as a bloodletter, and the Gemara is going to talk about in Amud Beis how certain things are required in the world in order for the world to run properly, but not all of those things that the world needs should one strive to be. Even though the world may need it, it's not something that a person as an individual should strive to be the one who provides the world with that need. So let's get started. We are at Amar Rava. So says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Misyachid Adam Mishtei Yevamos. A person is allowed to have yichud with two women who are married to two brothers, Im Shtei Tsaros, or with two women who are both married to the same man, Im Isha V'chamosa, with a woman and her mother-in-law, Imisha Bas Bailo, or with a woman and her stepdaughter, Imisha Vitinoka Shayadas Tambia Vin Masaris Atzmalabia. And also with a woman is Yodas Tambia, who understands what Bia is a little bit, but would never do it because she's too young. She would never give herself over for Bia, but she would know to say something if she saw something, and she would know that something is inappropriate about it, and therefore she would report back what she sees. So all the initial part of the list are women who don't have a good relationship with each other. And the reason why you're normally allowed to have yichud with shtei nashim is that the women will cover for each other, meaning if one of them doesn't have eira, the other one's not going to say anything. But two women who don't like each other, so then you don't have that concern that they're going to cover for each other, and therefore you're allowed to have yichud with these two women, because if something were to happen, you'd be afraid to do something with one of them, because the word would get out and it would be terribly embarrassing. And with the last one, it's simply even a one-on-one yichud situation, that it's not yichud when you're dealing with a woman who would never be moseris atzma labia, that it would never come to that. That's the exact age that is a discussion in the poskim. The Sidrei Tara writes that it must be the age that's ra'ui labia, or the Sidrei Tara writes that it's kol echad lefi charifuso, that it's each child depending on their own development and their own understanding and their own advancement, and there is no magic age that you could automatically identify. They quote the name of Chaznish that normally at the age of six, that's a good age to have someone as a shomer in order to have yichud with someone, because if you're being misyachid with a woman that you're not allowed to be misyachid with, and then you bring in a child who's yodas tabia but ain't a moseres atzmalbia, that child can serve as a shomer because they're not going to do anything themselves and they'll report exactly what they see. That's what we utilize this halacha when it comes to a yichud room with a chupas nida. If a couple gets married and the woman is nida, they're not allowed to have yichud, so a lot of times they'll put them in the yichud room because anyway, because everyone expects them to have yichus, so they dance into the yichud room. So we stick a child in the room with them, and therefore it's not actually yichud. Says the Gemara Vayter. Now higdilu zay yashin b'ksus. So we said in the Mishnah that if a child gets a little bit older, so then they're not allowed to sleep in the same bed unclothed with the parents. Each one has to be with their with pajamas on. So v'kama, what is the shear of higdilu? Amravad baraza. Amravasi tinokes pastesh shan v'yomechad. For a girl, it's the age of 9. Tinok ben shtemes shan v'yomechad. For a boy, it's the age of 12. Ikada amri tinokes pastesh shan v'yomechad. Tinok ben shalosh shan v'yomechad. And some say no. For a girl, it's 12, and for a boy, it's 13. V'zev v'zev. Whether you hold like the first shita, whether you hold like the second shita, it's only kadesh you shadayim nechanus arech tzimech. It's only when they've hit puberty, when they have simane gadlus, that since when the daughter has such simane gadlus, it's a simen that she's already a gadola, and therefore you're not allowed to sleep with her in the same bed without clothing. But according to the first lashon, if she has those simanim when she's 9 years old, that's a raya that she's a gadola. According to the second lashon, no, she's only a gadola if she has those simanim when she's 12 years old. If they come before she's 12 years old, it's a shuma bialma, it's nothing, you could ignore it. It's not considered that she's a gadola. That's how Rashi understands. Other Rishonim understand differently. The Chalkas Mechokek explains within the Shitas HaRambam that whenever a girl has such simanei gadlus, even if she's still a katana technically, it's asulisha nima. You're still not allowed to sleep with her because once she's physically maturing to that stage, mistama, she's already boshalam al defan of aruma. She's already embarrassed to stand in front of him unclothed. And if she has that level of embarrassment, it means that she already senses that there's something, that something is wrong with it, that there's something not sanua about it. And therefore, that's the age where that has to stop. So Amar Rav Bar Papa, Amar Rav Chista. That which we said, that a person is allowed to sleep with their daughter, Bekiruv Basar, is only when she's at an age where she's not embarrassed to be naked. But if she's embarrassed to be in front of him naked, then it's Asr for the father to sleep Bekiruv Basar with the daughter. My taima, what's the reason for that shear? So says Gemara, Yetzer Albisha, because it's an indication that the Yetzer of Arayos has already entered her on some level, and she already understands that it's lack of tznius to sleep with the father Bekiruv Basar. Ravacha bar Abba ikla lebei Rav Chista Chasane. Ravacha bar Abba went to his son-in-law's house, Rav Chista, shakli lebas barte, and he took his granddaughter, his daughter's daughter, osva bekanfe, and he took her in his bed for the night. They slept in the same bed. So Amrlei losa Rav Chista said to his father-in-law, losav lamar demekadcha, don't you realize that she's mekudesha? So I already gave her over for kiddushin, so she's an aishas ish. You shouldn't be doing this with an aishas ish by taking her in your bed to sleep for the night. That's how Rashi understands that you have to be merachik from an aishas ish. The question is that the Rishonim and Achronim deal with is why, meaning she's his granddaughter. There was nothing unseemly, or there's nothing nefarious. There's no kavanah. It's his granddaughter. That's what difference does it make whether she's an aishas ish or not? So the Makna says that once she's already an aishas ish, it's not going to help that the Anshei Knesset Gedola were mevatel the Yetzer Hara of Arayos for Krovos, because now she's a second Arayos. She's an Arayos of Eishes Ish. And they were not mevatel the Yetzer Hara of Arayos for an Eishes Ish. That's quite a chiddush. That tells you that that even though you don't have a Yetzer Hara for your mother or for your sister, but once she's an Eishes Ish, that changes? That's hard to imagine that changes. Tosfos Ritz says differently, that since she was Niskadsha, you have to treat her like a Gedola, because she's a married woman already. And the Meiri suggests that since she was in the Skadsha, she already gets a sense that she's about to live a married life, and therefore she has a sense of what Bia is, and the Yetzer Al-Bashar already at that point. So Amalei Ravacha Bar Abba said back to his son-in-law, You gave her over for kiddushin. Avartel chadarav. You violated the teaching of Rav. Dom Rav Yidom Rav. V'itema Rabbi Lazar. Asaladim shekadosh b'dik shiktana shtagdil. You're not allowed to give a daughter over for kiddushin until she becomes a gadola. V'tom Rav Ploni ani rotza, and she could tell you who she wants to marry. So says Gemara. Rav Chisa went shot right back to his father-in-law. Mar Nami avalei the Shmuel. I may be violating what Rav said. You're violating what Shmuel said. Dom Rav Shmuel in mishtamishim b'isha. Shmuel said you're not allowed to be mishtamish b'isha. So and you're being mishtamish b'isha. Amar Leis. So he said, Anakidach Shmuel Sirli. I'm doing like another teaching of Shmuel. Damar Shmuel Hakol Shem Shamayim. That which you're not allowed to be mishtamish b'isha is only when you're doing it l'tzorech chiba of ishus. You're doing it for your own developing your own sense of attachment. But that which I'm doing this is totally l'shem shamayim. It's in order to show my daughter that I appreciate her children and that I love her children and it makes her feel good that I take care of her children. So it has nothing to do with any sense of chiba of ishus. And that's why I'm justified in doing what I'm doing. So now says the Mishnah, a single person who's not married should not be a teacher of young children. And a woman also, doesn't say an unmarried woman, it sounds like even a married woman shouldn't teach children. Rabbi Lazar Omar, even someone who's in lo isha, with, and meaning his wife is not with him in that location, but he has a wife, but she lives somewhere else, he also shouldn't be melamed sofrim. Rabbi Yehuda Omar, lo yira ravak behema. Not only that, a single man should not be a shepherd, should not deal with animals all the time. And two single men should not sleep under a single blanket, under a single cover, because of a chashash that's going to lead to Mishkav Zachar. Now, the fact that it says talis, the Shoshana Ludavid points out, talis is always the malbush elyon, it's always an upper garment. So what this is indicating to us is that even if they're wearing pajamas, they're fully clothed, they shouldn't sleep under the same blanket, because that too can lead to Mishkav Zachar. Now, the Radal points out that if you look in the Gemara Sanhedrin Daf Chaf, it talks about the poverty in the years of Rabbi Yehuda, and it says that there were shisha tamidei chacham that were miskasim betalis achas, that there were six tamidei chacham that had to warm themselves in a single talis as they were osek betorah. So that's why Rabbi Yehuda had to warn them, yeah, but at night when you go to sleep, you shouldn't be betalis achas. So it's not a coincidence that it's Rabbi Yehuda who came up with this teaching. V'cham matirim, and v'cham say, no, there's no problem being a rabbi behema, there's no problem sleeping under the same talis, because you don't have to worry that Jewish people are not automatically chashud on bestiality nor on homosexuality. So my time, why is it that a single person should not be a melamed tinoko? So if you can say the issue is because we're choshish, he's going to start up with the children, and he's going to do inappropriate things with the children. Tanya, but doesn't the Brisa tell us that a regular kosher Jew is not suspected of Mishkav Zachar, nor of bestiality, so you don't have to worry, he's going to start up with the children. Only a person who's suspected of Mishkav Zachar would start up with the children. No, the reason why he shouldn't be a teacher of young children is because the moms all drive carpool, and they come to parent-teacher conferences, and they're the ones that are involved, so they're always around. So because he's going to have an inappropriate relationship with one of the mothers, that's the problem. And Isha, Misham Afhasa, and the reason a woman shouldn't be Melamed Tinokos is because of the fathers, Afhasa the Yunuke, the fathers of the children that bring their children to school. They're going to be the ones that are driving carpool, right? That's what the Gemara says, that initially, the Gemara Masechta Basra says, that initially the plan was that every father was supposed to teach his child Torah, and then they realized that a lot of the fathers were unable to teach their children Torah, so they set up a yeshiva in Yerushalayim, and all the fathers, their job was then to drive carpool, was to bring their kids to Yerushalayim to learn Torah. Then the Gemara said they came to a different city. Rabbi Shimon Gamla realized that not every child had a father. So, okay, first the problem was not every child had a father that was a Talmud Chacham that could teach him Torah. Then the problem was they realized not every child has a father, so not every child has someone who's going to be able to bring them. And that's why they set up Malam Dei Tinokos B'chali Yerir B'chal Pelech U'Pelech. But you see that it's a father's responsibility to bring the child to the Talmud Torah. So if the father's going to be bringing the child, then there's a woman that's a teacher, so it could be that it's going to lead to an inappropriate relationship. Even someone who doesn't have an isha should not be melamed sofrim. So he clearly is saying something different than the Tanakhama, but Tanakhama already said that lo yelamed adam ravak sofrim. So what's he saying? Misha ein lo isha. Isn't that the same thing as a ravak? So two possibilities. Either it means that he doesn't have a wife wife right now, but he has previously been married. And with that, he's adding on to the Tanakhama, where the Tanakhama says, Ravak means someone who's never been married. Or he means that, no, even if he's currently married, but his wife is nowhere to be found, his wife is not anywhere nearby, that he's not allowed to be Melamed Sofrim. So what is Rabbi Elazar adding to the Tanakhama? Is he adding that even somebody who was once married, or is he adding even somebody who is currently married, but the wife is not around? So Tasha Masa says, well, bring a raya from a brisa. Af mishi yesh lo ve'ino shruya etzlo lo yelamid sofrim. It's the second way, that even if he has a wife, but she's not shruya etzlo, she's not with him, then he should not be melamid sofrim. And he's mefurish in the brisa that if he has a wife, she's just not around, that he should not be melamid tinokos. Rabbi Yehuda omer lo yira. Rabbi Yehuda says that in the Mishnah that he can't even, a single guy cannot even be a shepherd, and he can and cannot sleep in the same talus with another man. So Tanya, Amalo Rabbi Yehuda, the Chum said to Rabbi Yehuda, the reason we're matir these things is lo nechshtu Yisrael al mishkav zachar. We're not regular kashrut Jew is not chashud to violate the isra of mishkav zachar velo al behema, nor the isra of being with a behema. So you don't have to worry that an average person is going to be nichshal in these things. Obviously, if a person is a parutz or something like that, so with we saw yesterday that with Prutzim all the dinim of Yichud are entirely different if a person is part of Tzla Arayos, but a regular person that you know to be a kosher person, you don't have to be choshed, even though it ain't up a trop of Tzla Arayos, you don't have to be choshed for these types of Arayos with a regular person, even though we are choshed for other types of Arayos with a regular person. Okay, says the Mishnah, Kol Shasakovim Anashim, anyone whose job, whose parnasa, it involves being around women all the time, lo yisyachidim anashim, should not have yichud even with many women. We learned in the Mishnah yesterday that a man is not allowed to have yichud with two women, or 2 days ago, he's not allowed to have yichud with two women, but more than that, it sounds like he is allowed to have yichud with. But if he's a sakif im anashim, then even with more than two women, it's a problem. Lo yilamid adamus b'no umnus hanashim. And a person, when they're trying to teach a child a trade so that the kid should be able to make money one day to support a family one day, should be mindful not to teach the child an umnus that's going to cause him to be around women too much, in order that he shouldn't become too comfortable with them. In the Meiri, he says that another explanation is not lo yilamid adamas b'no umnus hanashim, that it's an umnus where when he is in his professional life he'll be around women, but in the limud process he shouldn't be around women. Meaning, don't send him to a school where there are women in the school together with the child, because through that, through the study sessions and everything else that they're going to be learning together, that's going to be the problem of having a co-ed institution. So that's not healthy for a child from a Torah perspective. A person should always teach his child a profession that is nikia, that's not likely to lead to averos, and it's kala, it doesn't take too much effort. And you shouldn't say, well, if it's umnus nikia v'kala, you know, you get paid based on how much effort and based on how, so he's not going to make any money. No, don't worry about that. Yispal Misha Shaoshav and Chasim Shalo. Kodesh Baruch Hu is in charge of who gets money. So Davin Ta Kodesh Baruch Hu Sheinum Neshem Ba'Anius Ve'Ashirus. Every profession has people who are wealthy and people who are not wealthy. Shalo Anius Mina Umnus V'Lo Ashirus Mina Umnus Ela Kol Fizuchuso. It's not the Anius, the Anius and the Ashirus does not come from the Umnus. It all comes from a person's mazel. So even though statistically there are certain jobs that pay less, but you should know that within every profession there are people who are wealthy, so you have that opportunity to become wealthy through any profession, as long as Yidavim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides that a person is worthy of having that wealth. Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, Rizmi Miyamecha Chayi Va'ov Sheish Lamumnus. Have you ever seen an animal or a wild animal or a bird that has some sort of job, that has some sort of profession? Vehein Misparnas and Shlo Betzar. And somehow they always have whatever they need, they have whatever food they need, they have whatever shelter they need, they manage to make it. And they're only put on this world to be mishamish human beings, to be mishamish me. And I'm put on this world to be mishamish HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So all the more so, I should be zocha to have parnasa without any tzar. Ella, that's true, that's the way it should have been. Ella, but the reason it's not that way is sharati masi. I've done bad things, and through my own averos, I've caused myself to have trouble with my parnasa. Abu Gurya nishad yarom mishum Abu Gurya leilamid adam espino chamar gamol kador sapon roa chenveni. A person should not teach his child to be a donkey driver, a camel driver, a potter, or some say a wagon driver, is the way Rishonim understand a sapon, a sailor, a shepherd, a chenveni, someone who sells food in the store. Shem nasan umnus listim, because all of these are very likely to violate stealing, because they travel a lot, and whenever they're traveling, they'll take wood and peros from neighboring vineyards, and sometimes they violate the terms of agreements that they make with other people. And someone who's rov behemosav, someone who's a shepherd, will bring the animals into fields that don't belong to him. A chenveni will often mix some water in with the wine and throw some pebbles in with the wheat that he's selling in order to make the weight that he's of what he's selling. He'll cut corners. So all of these things, there's a big yetzer hara for a person to steal a little bit in these professions. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishma, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and he says, Hachamarin Ruban Rishayim. I'll grant you donkey drivers are Ruban Rishayim. They are largely Rishayim because they're involved in Geneva all the time. Vagamalin Ruban Ksherin. Camel drivers are mostly Ksherin because the camels are in the Midbar all the time, and that's always a Makom Sakana, and people who constantly are in the hands of the Ribono Shalom for their very protection are more likely to be connected to the Ribono Shalom and to realize that that Hashem is in their lives. Hasapanim Ruben Chasidim. Sailors also are mostly Chasidim because they're out at sea a lot, which is a very dangerous place to be, and because of that, their hearts are much more connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're always davening. Tov Shabarofim L'Gehenim. Even the greatest of doctors are ultimately going to be Yorish Gehenim, and the Rashi explains, because they don't have they're not Mishaber Libam HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because they're not afraid of getting sick themselves, because they think that if I know how to eat the proper food, I keep the proper diet, now because I'm a doctor, I know what's healthy, so I'm never going to get sick. And they think that and sometimes they may kill people through implementing a refuah that was the improper course of treatment. And sometimes they have the ability to help somebody and they don't help them because the person doesn't have the money to pay, the person is an ani, and as a result of that they don't help people. So those are the explanations that Rashi has as to why Tov Shabro from Lagahanim. Rabbi Kiva Eger says, what do you mean? If they have all of these midos, why are those people called the Tov Shabarofim? Someone who refuses to treat people, someone who kills people, that's the Tov Shabarofim? Imagine that, you go online and his rating will be very low if he's killing patients left and right. Right? So why is that the Tov Shabarofim? So Rabbi Kiva Eger suggests that the Midah Tov Shabarofim is Midas Hachzarius. That sometimes a person needs to have a little bit of cruelty in order to be a good doctor, because it's going to hurt the treatment very often. The kid doesn't want the shot, but you also don't want him to get the measles, right? So you have to be a little bit cruel in order to treat the patient sometimes. So Tov Shabrofim, says Rabbi Kivega, means the Tov Shabrofim, the Rofim that know how to utilize the Midas Achzarios, is normally a Midah that's L'Gehenim. They utilize a Midah that normally would send an average person L'Gehenim, but for them that midah is very critical for them. There are a lot of other explanations of Tov Shabarofim L'Gehenim as well. I'm sure there are books that just collect all the explanations of this line. The Meiri writes Tov Shabarofim L'Gehenim because a lot of times they just give up hope too easily on being able to cure a person. A lot of other explanations. V'akasher shebetavachim shutaf shel amalek. The most kasher of all of the butchers of all the shochtim is a shutaf of amalek. Because sometimes they'll have cases of suffix trefus and they're going to sell it to people anyway because they don't want to lose the animal. So the tremendous loss of money if they can't sell it. Rabbi Nurai Omer Maniach Ani Kol Umanu Shaba Olam Veini Melamed Espini El Torah. Rabbi Nurai says, I'm only going to teach my child Torah. Shadam Ochel Mischar Abol Mazeh VaKeren Kemes Olam Abba. A person enjoys the benefits of the schar of Torah in this world and still will continue to benefit from it in Olam Abba. V'Shar Kol Umanus Einu Kein. And other professions are not like that. If a person gets sick or old or is suffering and he's not able to do his job anymore, harei u'meisperav, so he won't make any money anymore and he's going to die of hunger. Avol Torah ein kein, Torah doesn't work that way. El mishamarta mikol ra b'nu ruso, it protects him from all evil while he is young, and even when he gets old and he becomes a bal yisurim and he's not able to do it anymore, v'nosenoslo achris v'tikva b'ziknuso, the schar is still going to be there in his old age. B'naruso ma'u omer, what does the pasuk say about him in his young age? In the pasuk Yishayo, v'kovei Hashem yachlifu koach, that when he's mekavel Hashem in his young age, Hashem is going to give him additional koach. B'ziknuso ma'u omer, od yinuvun b'seva, t'sheinim raninim yu, that even in his age of zikna, where he's not able to be osik b'torah, the peros are still going to be there from the schar of the limud Torah in his young age. V'cheinu omer b'Avram avinu, v'Avram zaken, v'Hashem berichas Avram b'akol. It says b'Avram avinu. It's a kind of a daf yomi coincidence because we're in the parshios of Avram avinu, and people keep emailing me daf yomi coincidences that I miss. So that's a kind of a daf yomi coincidence that Hashem berichas Avram b'akol. This is next week's parsha that Hashem blessed Avram b'akol. So matzinu shas Avram avinu is kol ha'Torah kula ad shlo nitna. We find that Avram avinu fulfilled the entire Torah even before it was given. Shenemar ekev hashashama Avram b'kol v'yishmar mishmarti mitzvosai chukosai v'sorosai. So you see that he was mekayim all of the mitzvos Hashem. Mishnah Lamelech has a suffix whether he was Jewish or not, meaning even if he was mekayim kol mitzvos Hashem, doesn't necessarily mean that he was the first Jew. He may not have been Jewish. The avos before Matan Torah may have had the status of a ben Noach. That's the suffix of the Mishnah Lamelech and the Sefer Parshas Drachim. But certainly we have on record about Avram Avinu that it was mekayim kol Torah kol atzlo nitna. There is a discussion in the Achronim. Do we say the same about the other avos? Meaning the Mishnah only says it about Avram Avinu. Do we assume and therefore Yitzchak and Yaakov? Because after all, in this week's parsha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses Avram Avinu because he's the one that's going to teach his children to serve Hashem. So probably, however he served Hashem, he was teaching his children to serve Hashem. And therefore they too likely were Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula. Tanu Rabban, Kol Shasakim Manashim Surah Ra. Someone whose business is with women is a bad minug, and you shouldn't connect to such type of men. Kigon HaTzorfim, like people who are involved in the jewelry business, Vasarikim, and people who are involved in women's clothing, Vanakoros, and people who are involved in the mills that women use, Varochlin, people who sell perfumes, Vagardiyim, and weavers, Vasaparim, and the barbers that cut the hair of young children, that women always bring their kids for the haircuts, Vakovsim, and the launderers, Vahagara, and someone who's a bloodletter, Vahabalan, and a bathhouse attendant, Vahaborsiki, and a tanner, Ein Mamid Mehem. So among those professions, you shouldn't have Lo Melech Velo Kohen Gadol. You shouldn't appoint someone to a position of Melech or Kohen Gadol. My time, why can't they be a Melech? Because Lo Mishum Tepsili, it's not that they're possible, El Mishum Tezil Menasayu. But it's not a respectable umnus, and it's a very important part of being a Melech, is that people have to respect the Melech, and they're not going to respect him if they remember him as someone who has a profession that's not a very honorable profession. That's not a profession that people respect. I mean, people will say, "Oh yeah, that guy used to be my barber." I mean, that's not going to weigh. It's kind of not going to engender the kind of kavod that a Melech needs to have. Tanu Rabban, Asar Dvarim Nemru Begara. There are 10 things that are said about someone who's makis dam. Number one, Mahalich Al Tzido. He walks with a koma zakufa like a balgaiva. Number two, Verucha Gasa. He is a Balgaiva. He doesn't only walk like a Balgaiva, but he's Miska'a. Number three, Vinitl V'yoshev. When he wants to sit down, he leans on something and then he sits down like the Derech of Balgaiva. Number four, it's all Balgaiva. Number four, Ve'eno Tzara. He's very stingy with his money. Number five, Ve'eno Ra'a. That he looks at healthy people and tries to hope that they get sick so that they'll need his services, so that he can help cure them. Number six is Va'ochal Harbe. That's, by the way, also one of the reasons Tov Shabarov from Leganim is, some of the Rishonim say that Tov Shabarov from Leganim is because he hopes that people get sick so that he'll have Parnasa. And if people are sick, he'll prolong the treatment as much as possible, so he'll keep coming back for more appointments so that he'll have more Parnasa. Number six is Ochal Harbe. He eats a lot each day. Number seven is Motzi Kima. He doesn't go to the bathroom very much. because he eats healthy foods. Number eight, v'chashal al arayos. He's chashed for arayos because he's always with women to be makas dam for women. Number nine, v'yala gezel. He's chashed for gezel because the women that pay him steal from their husbands in order to pay for these treatments. And number ten, v'al shvichas damim. He's also chashed on shvichas damim because sometimes he's going to be makas dam too much, meaning he's bloodletting and he may take out more blood than he's supposed to take, and that could be a very dangerous thing. So now the Gemara discusses what we spoke about in our Mishnah, which is the type of umnus that one should teach their child. Darsh bar kapar leolni alminad masbano umnus nikia vikala. A person should teach their child an umnus nikia vikala. So says Gemara, maihi. What would be such an example of an umnus nikia vikala? Amar of Yehuda, so Yehuda explains that an example would be machta de talmiyusa, that to do needlework like the rows of plowing to be able to make needlework like that. Tanya Rebbe Omer Inlecha Umnus Shalveres Mina Olam. Every profession is going to continue to exist in the world. Asher Misha Roa as Horav Bumnus Muula, and fortunate someone who gets to see that his parents and his children as well are working in an honorable profession. And if you see your family involved in a very dishonorable profession, so that's a woe unto such a person. For example, the world will not exist without perfumers and without tanners, but Asher Mishum Nasa Bosa, my little Mishum Nasa Borsiki. But fortunate is someone who gets to be around sweet smelling, nice smelling spices all day, and unfortunate is someone who has to be around the awful, pungent aroma of a tannery the whole day. Now, there will always be tanners, because if there are none, someone will realize the opportunity and that's a way to make money. And whenever there's a way to make money, there are going to be people that jump to do it, but it's better for a person as an individual not to be involved in such an umnus. The world cannot exist without both men and women. Asher Misha Banim Zacharim, Oilol Misha Banim Nekevos. Fortunate is someone whose children are Zacharim, woe unto one whose children are Nekevos. A lot of interpretations of this as well. The Gra has an interpretation that Eif Shal Yolim Blo Zacharim Blo Nekevos, that because the Gemara says in Masechet Basra that Revia Bal Yolim, that when someone had a baby girl, one of the other Morayim said that you brought plenty, and so you brought more people into the world, so it's a great thing. And the other one said, "Tanchum shal hevel nicham chavucha," that it's not a proper nechama because Ailol Misha banim nekevos. So the Gra explains what that means is that the more that technically, if a man could marry many women, which technically on a daraisa level is permissible, so they can have many, 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 many children because the women could be pregnant simultaneously. All the wives could be pregnant simultaneously, so a person could have many more children if he's married to many women. But the number of women in the world therefore determines how many people in the next generation there are going to be. The number of men in the world will not be the determinant because one man can impregnate many women. So when a person brings a woman brings a female into the world, so he's brought plenty. He's brought Revia. He's brought Peruvu into the world because he's brought someone who's able to make a baby. When a person brings a man into the world, he hasn't. However, Tanchum Shal Hevel Nicham Chavucha says the Gra, that means that for your family, the way to grow your family the most is if your children are boys, because they could marry many women, and therefore you'll have more grandchildren if you have boys that are married to many women. So nowadays that whole conversation doesn't work anymore because we have Chayim Dor Ben Gershom and one man marries one woman, and we don't have men marrying many women. But anyway, that's how the Gra explained that conversation. A person should always teach his child an umnus nekiyah v'kala, and he shouldn't say that it's not an umnus that you can make money with. A person has to have a certain sense of bitachon, a kodesh baruch hu, and you daven to Hashem that he's going to take care of you. It's the wealth and the poverty does not come from your chosen profession. It all comes from a kodesh baruch hu. Says that Kesef and Zav is mine. It's all from me. It doesn't come from profession. It's a very difficult challenge for people to get over. That very often when they make life choices in terms of what profession they want to go into, people go into professions that will make their lives miserable, the rest of their lives miserable, because that's where you can make a few more dollars. A little bit of bitachon sometimes is necessary in order for a person to try to make a decision that makes sense for their own kochos, for their own talents, for their own abilities, for their own menuchas and nefesh. So that's it's a critical thing when a person is making these decisions to have a sense of bitachon. Oftentimes, the 22-year-old who's making the decision has a sense of bitachon. The parents don't have a sense of bitachon. Okay, so Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Imri Yisa Miyamecha. So Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, have you ever seen a chayav of that have an umnus that they're involved with and they seem to get by just fine? So Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Yomei Lo Reisi Tzvi Kayot. I've never seen a deer that is that dries figs in the field. The Ari Sabal. I've never seen a lion that's a porter that's schlepping packages around from one place to another. Vishul Chenvani. I've never seen a fox that sells things in a store. Vehemis Parnasim Shlo Bitzar. So obviously the Achronim work on why he chose these professions for these animals, right? Meaning, is he what about the lion? Says porter. Nevertheless, you don't see them doing normal human professions, and nevertheless, they have parnasa shelo bitzar. They're able to support themselves without tsar. The Achronim explain, the Maral explains, that the Tana mentions three balei chayim keneged the guf, meaning Tafka picks three animals keneged the guf, the nefesh, and the seichel, and all of them person uses the guf, the nefesh, and the seichel in order to provide himself with a livelihood. The Ari is keneged the guf because it has a very strong body. The Tzvi is keneged the nefesh because it has the mihirus atenua, it's able to run very quickly, which is koach nafshi, and the Seichel lo reisi shul chenveni, because a shul is the chacham of all of the wise fox. He's the chacham of all the animals, and they don't use their kochos for the sake of their parnasa. They're misparnish lo betzar from the fact that they're the fact that a person has to be used as kochos to sort of parnasa. So that's only because of the chisaron of the person. Meaning, ideally, we'd be able to make our parnasa without having to use all of our kochos. That our kochos should be reserved for our avodas Hashem, for our Talmud Torah. Meaning, Rav Amital said that it used to be that in Europe, that someone who's a brilliant person, his mind would be dedicated for Torah, and his hands would be used to make a parnasa. He'd be a carpenter or whatever else, but his mind was dedicated for Torah. He said it's a shift of paradigm that now you have people's brains are mostly dedicated for earning their parnasa. Their greatest koach is dedicated for earning their parnasa. So that's really chisaron that we have, that the Gemara is pointing out, according to the Maral, that really if the greatest kochos that we have should really be utilized primarily for our avodas Hashem. How we put food on the table, okay, whatever, you figure out how to put food on the table, but our greatest kochos should be toward our avodas Hashem. But no, that's the chisaron that we have, that we utilize our greatest kochos for our panasa. V'heim lo nivru l'sham sheni, and they're only created to be m'shamish mi. V'ani nivresi l'shamish eskoni, I was created to be m'shamish my creator. U'ma elu shlo nivru l'sham sheni misparnasim shlo b'tzar, if these that are only m'shamish mi are misparnas shlo Bitzar, Anin Vresel Shamish Koni, I who was created to be Mishamish HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Eino Din Shesparni Shelo Bitzar, all the more so I should have Parnasa Shelo Bitzar. Elish Ariosius Masi, but I've done bad things. V'kipachtias Parnasasi, and therefore I've cost myself my own Parnasa. Shenemar Avonasechem Hitu, the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu says, Avonasechem Hitu Eile V'chatasechem Manu HaTov Mikem, that it's our own Chataos that are Monea Tov, that prevent goodness from coming to us. So the fact that we have to work so hard for our Parnasa and for our Mizonos is because of our Averos. Rabbi Nurai Yomar Maniach Anias Kalu Manos, he says, I'll leave aside any of any malamidus bini ella Torah, that a person is ochem ischar b'al mazek keren kayem so li'olam haba. So the Gemara brings a brisa that brings Rabbi Nurai a little differently. Tanya, Rabbi Nurai Yomer maniach ani kolam manos she ba'olam ve'ini malamidus bini ella Torah, that I will only teach my child Torah. She kol umanos she ba'olam ein omedus lo ella bimei yalduso. All other professions will be there for a person when he's young and he's vigorous and he's able to perform the task of that profession. But when he gets older, then he's going to be starving. Torah does not work that way. It's there for a person when he's young, and it gives him hope and a future in his old age, that the Torah is going to be there for a person for arichus yamim, even if he's not able to learn Torah as much when he's a zaken. He's going to still be benefiting from the schar that he earned when he was younger. What does the pasuk say? And what does it say in Tehillim about Be'isiknuso? Od yunuvim b'seva d'sheinim v'ananim yiyu. That even in the age of seva, they're still going to be able to be mekabel schar from the Torah that they learned when they were young. So Adra lachasar yuchsin slikalam meseches kiddushin. Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Seder Nezikin meseches Bava Kama. Mazel tov to everybody on the completion of Seder Nashim. Thank you. Have a good Shabbos, everyone. A pleasure. Yashikov, thank you. Take care.